Tonight, I want us to go back. I want us to review what the direction was for us as a church back at the first of the year. And I just want us to kind of run a test tonight to kind of see that if we've moved forward individually in these specific areas. Now, I kind of collaborated all together of what the various ministers spoke here, what the Holy Spirit had inspired Elaine and I in to bring it together into several points of what God was telling us for this year. Some of these points are specific. Some of the points are a lot more varied. But what we're trusting in the Holy Spirit to do, we're trusting in the Spirit of God to let us know what He's saying, what He's looking for. Because I'm telling you, He's the only one that's going to be able to direct us to safety and to keep us in a safe place. And He's the only one that's going to be able to direct us into a place of provision and then to provide for us. I can't do it. You can't do it for yourself. You may think you can, but nest eggs don't carry you through hard times. Because nest eggs are vanishing quick. One of the saddest stories about that that I've ever pastored. We had a precious family. I mean, this is a loving family. I love this family with all my heart. And they was very elderly. And this husband had worked on a menial task job all their marriage life. And they saved everything that they could. I mean, he worked on probably minimum wage, tried to support a family, tried to support a home. And in the process, when he came to retirement, he had put in the bank $52,000, I think it was. And I want you to know, that was a miracle. I'm talking about probably 25, 30 years ago. And a miracle that he was able to save that, raise a family. But the thing that he had failed to do, he had failed to put God first. Fear controlled him more than the obedience to the Lord to give. And I always knew that, but I always loved them, and they loved me. I was their pastor, and they was my buddies. But they never could bring themselves a place to trust God. Immediately when he retired, I'm talking about, like you turn around a day or two. Immediately when he retired, very shortly, immediately he was struck with the disease. And the first thing that happened, he went into the hospital and they pulled all that money out. And he had to live the rest of his life with the disease experience with no money at all. That's a sad story. That was a sad story for them. I preached their funerals, and it was so sad for me to sit there and think that. How he had worked so hard, saved every penny that he could, put it in that bank, hoping that when he retired, that he would be able to have a little bit. Him and her could do a little bit of what they wanted. And the old devil, because it wasn't protected by God, the old devil moved in and robbed it immediately. Sad, sad story. It just pays to obey the Lord. Now, I told this testimony up in the MITs just a few minutes ago. I'm going to bring it up. I'm going to share it again. It just pays. However the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, it's important that we hear it. That's why on Wednesday night, this past Wednesday night, we did a video on dreams. Not that you can agree with everything, because when you get in those specific areas, everybody's got their own flow. But God needs to stir an interest in our heart toward hearing Him in every way possible. Because it's of vital importance that we hear God in every way possible. Where the Lord is speaking to you by His Word, where the God is speaking to you by His Spirit, where God is speaking to you through your husband or through your wife or through a neighbor or even through a pastor. It's very important that you hear God. When you come into a service, do not allow your mind to run wild. Stay focused, straining to hear, not necessarily what the song leader is saying or what the preacher is saying, but straining to hear what God is saying to you in the midst of what they're saying. Try to hear the Lord at all times. Here a few years ago, there was a young man. He had failed to listen. There had been a time in his life that he really heard from God. Him and I were prayer partners for years. We prayed with each other. We fellowshiped together. We even ministered together. And then he drifted. His life began to drift out where he could no longer hear God. And that was a sad place. My heart broke for him. Well, in the midst of that, God gave me a warning. I believe it came in the area of a dream instead of a vision. And God spoke to my heart. And God said, go tell him that the enemy is coming. And the price would possibly be death unless he repented and turned back toward the Lord. Well, I don't find that easy. The Lord has told me that just a few times. Sometimes I obeyed and sometimes I didn't. Sometimes the people suffered because I couldn't overcome the fear enough to be able to tell them the truth of what God had told me. And I'm ashamed of that. But I hope I've gotten older and learned better. But in his particular case, I did. I remember, I think it was on a Thursday night, may have been a Tuesday night. I went to his home, was greeted wonderfully. We were wonderful friends. And across from him and his wife, I sat there and I told him, with tears in my heart, I said, God said that you needed to hear God again, that the devil was coming and he was going to take from you unless you repented and turned around and once again began to hear from God, because God can keep you safe. Well, that night he rejected it. Now, he wasn't ugly to me. His wife wasn't ugly, but they rejected it. They would not accept it with the Lord. The next voice I heard from him was the voice in the middle of the night. I picked up the phone. It rang in the middle of the night, and it was the emergency room here in Camden. And the voice on the other end said, Brother Jerry, come raise her from the dead, please. Come raise her from the dead. And I began there and said, I can't. God sent a warning into your life. God spoke to your heart that he could direct you. God could speak to you and could turn that thing around. And through a horrible accident, that precious darling, his wife, was taken out of this world. I'm going to tell you what is important to hear God. It's important to hear what God is saying to us. So we need to, whatever it is, to strain whatever muscles that we need to strain to make sure that all the barriers between us and God are out of the way. And we really need to hear the Lord. Amen. So that's why we're going to talk about this for at least the next 3 months. Elaine's going to be ministering on it. I'm going to be ministering on it. Stephen's going to be ministering on it. Elaine will be ministering on it, Lord willing, next Sunday morning. And we're talking about how to live in the supernatural. I want you right now, the only one that can help us do it. See, we can't do this with our intellect. You know that? We can't do it. We can't get smart enough to get spiritual. It's not a mind thing. But what we can do, we can desire. And God can hear. And God can help us. I want you right now, I want us to just make a plea before the Lord. Now, I want us to desire for God. I want us to desire for the Lord to come and to create in our heart a desire for a spiritual, for a supernatural life. And God would help each one of us to be on a path together. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we as a congregation right before you right now, Lord, with intensity in our heart, we're saying that we want you. We want to live spiritual lives, God. Lord, we don't want to be like the world. We don't want to handle things like the world. Lord, we don't want to be under the same fears, the same pressures, the same anxieties as the world. We want to be able to rest in you and trust you, God. Father, only you can help us get there. Only you, precious Holy Spirit, can lead us. So we ask you, precious Holy Spirit, that you would take the leadership in each of our lives and that you would lead us as individuals, as families, and as a church, that you would lead us to the very throne of the Lord. And Lord, do in us what needs to be done to cause the spiritual life of God that you've created us to live, the supernatural life of God, cause it, Lord, to come forth in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we believe God. Amen. One of the most spiritual things we can do is when you pray, believe. Do not pray and then the next thought doubt. Pray and believe. No matter if you felt like you touched God or you didn't touch God, the important thing is when you ask God, you believe He hears. We need to overcome the areas of our feelings and areas of fear that's tried to override our lives. We need to let our hearts come alive to the Lord and let our hearts, amen, respond to Him. Amen. All right, now, just in a little background, the Bible said in Philippians chapter 3:13, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus." And if we're going to grow spiritually, then we're going to have to focus. It's going to have to be, we're going to have to focus on the what God is putting in front of us. And then I love this promise. This is probably my favorite promise in all the Word. It says Isaiah chapter 26, verse 14, it says, "They, the former tyrant masters, are dead." And I'm here to declare today that I'm tired of the devil ruining my life, running and ruining my life. How many is tired of that? Amen. Amen. And so we decree here today that the former tyrant masters, that they are dead, that they shall not live and reappear. They are powerless ghosts. That's what the scripture says. Say, they are powerless ghosts. They shall not rise and come back. And then we speak this for the Lord. "Therefore you, O Lord, you have visited and you've made an end of them. And you've caused every memory of them, every trace of their supremacy in our life to perish in Jesus' name." How many want to live on that street for a while? Amen. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that a wonderful, beautiful place to live? And that's what the Lord can do. Praise God. So we're going to talk about the open doorway that the Lord gave us in 2015. As we entered into this year, we started with God speaking into many people's hearts things that were to prompt us to move forward to be prepared spiritually. Psalm 27 and 8 says, "When you said, 'Seek my face,' what did our heart say? What did our heart say? 'Your face I'll seek, Lord. Your face I'll seek.'" Somebody say that out loud to the Lord. "Your face I'll seek, Lord. Your face I'll seek." We've chosen to focus on the more important things of life, haven't we? Praise God. The first thing to feel like the Lord spoke to our hearts, it was a year to build and establish altars. And so I pray that there has been an altar established in your life. I pray it just wasn't a first of the year thing, but I pray that God really worked an altar, a surrender time into your life. I just appreciate those that still understand. The most important thing that happens when we first come together, when the note begins, is the surrender starts. The first part of any worship service is to bring surrender in our heart. The first part of every worship service is to bring a surrender immediately. The way we approach God is through humility and surrender. We don't approach God through pride and arrogancy. We approach God through humility and surrender. So immediately when worship starts, and I love the those that respond to the Lord when the music begins and there's things that need to be surrendered to the Lord. I tell you what, this to be a hot spot in God's kingdom. Amen. And we want these altars to remain. And your altar at home, we want it to remain the hot spot, the place of surrender. The first thing that happens when you hit your altar and on a daily basis should be surrender. "Lord, I humble myself before you. I surrender my life to you. I surrender everything to you, Lord, in Jesus' name." Amen. So the first is to build and establish altars. The second thing is for God to establish real change in our life. So I pray that this whole year that there has been a real change that's been taking place in every person's life. I pray that you've cultivated change, that you've cultivated change in your life spiritually. Amen. The next one is to be a year of a different kind. Well, I mean, God, this was a real leadership year. This is the time that God wanted to inspire us, even though we felt like we could not do some things. God wanted to inspire us in some various directions. Now, Bill Norton kept continually telling us to be inspired to come into the holy place, to be inspired to move closer to the Lord. Leonard Ford continued to inspire us to inspire to move into a holy place with God, to be inspired to move into this holy, dedicated, and this committed place with God. So the Lord. And then the Lord said it's going to be a year of turbulence. How many found that to be true? Man, a real turbulence. Of real things moving and almost the seemingly out of control areas of our life. Believe the Lord spoke to my heart. Said it's going to be turbulence in the wind and in the water. There's going to be a turbulence going on up here and then on the water. The water symbolizes a lot of different things. Seas represent a lot of different, mostly it just represents life. That there's going to be a strong turbulence in life. and going to be a strong turbulence in the winds. And so that the Lord has helped us. Everybody say, God's helped us to maneuver some of those turbulence. My family has never been through a more turbulent year. But I'm here to tell you, thank you. You that joined in prayer for me. Sister Joyce told me just right before this service. She said 3 months ago, God told me to pray a hedge of protection around y'all every morning. And she said, I've been faithful to do that now for 3 months. I want to say thank you, Sister Joyce. Thank you. And I thank all of those that have helped us to maneuver the turbulence that's helped us to do there. Because it's been a real shaky time. Amen. But controlled turbulence produces energy. Amen. And I'm here to tell you that it's been a turbulent year, and I pray that your turbulence is not looked on at this time as a bad thing. I think you can say, you know what? I grew. I grew. It produced some strength and energy in the Lord, and say, I've just backed up. I put on my boxing gloves and I'm ready to fight the devil again for the glory of God. Amen. The Bible says that he, the devil is a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. Rick Renner, which is supposed to be the world's second or third leading authority in the realm of Greek, said that is a picture of a lion that is standing there with blood dripping from its teeth. The picture is of this lion that has already aggressively attacked prey, and that lion stands again with blood dripping from his teeth, ready to attack again. Well, I'm here to tell that lousy devil that we're garrison, guardian, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. That God, amen, has kept us, and God is our protection. Amen. Or praise the Lord. But uncontrolled turbulence produces destruction. Matthew 11:12 says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And we have just determined that we're going to be more violent spiritually and supernaturally than the devil is against us. Amen. Because all that the devil has is he's dead spiritually. So all really, Lane's always telling me, all he's got is words, Jerry. All he's got is words. Well, there's been a few times those words hit pretty hard. But I'm here to tell the devil today that in the name of Jesus, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And I pray whatever you and your family has went through, whatever attacks, I want you to just leap to your feet, and I want you to witness before God that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I'm still here. I'm still standing. I've survived. God has taken care in Jesus' name for the glory of God. Now, what's wrong with all these lazy guys? Y'all, listen, y'all, I was just worshiping with y'all. Y'all get up on y'all's feet. Come on. Just give them a hand. I would just... Now, let me ask you this. What would it be if when y'all began to play, we went, everybody get them a nap. Y'all, all right, I got you. Did I get you good? Now, come here. Let me love on you a little bit. All right, I love on you a little bit. See, I know what it is. You think I can't see out of the side of my eyes over here. I can. I can see, man. I can see outside of my eyes. Now, I want y'all to watch this. Watch this. Lane, stand up. Somebody throw that Jezebel out of here, please. No. All right, see, I don't have control anywhere, do you? All right, praise God. All right, it's a year of fierce winds and fierce waves, but the Lord is going to help us. All right, the next thing is a year to know that His Word still controls the storm. And I pray that that has got more inbred and ingrained inside you, that truly you have known that this year God has taught me that His Word controls the storm. There is nothing to use in warfare like the power of His Word. The power of His Word is a sword of the Spirit. And you can take that sword and you can literally demolish Satan's kingdom. So everybody got to hold that sword and say, I have learned this year especially that His Word still controls the storm. Now, somebody that's been through a storm, just give the Lord a little praise. Thankfulness to God. Thankfulness to God. Thankfulness to God. Amen. Amen. All right, this is a year not only to rest in God's Word, this is a year to speak God's Word. So I pray that this year, as God's preparation has went forth, that we have learned to speak God's Word.
I'm just a little slow to obey.
delayed obedience, I believe you would call that, maybe. But I pray that whatever we went through, that we've learned the power of speaking God's word. You can thank God's word. You can meditate on God's word. We're going to talk about that a lot this year, the rest of this year. But to speak God's word has a power with it that nothing else can match. So we've learned that when we're going through those storms, when we're going through those things, we've learned, speak God's word only. What did Jesus say? Speak God's word only. That's what he told the centurion. Speak God's word only. Speak God's word only. When you're in the heat of the battle, you can never, ever speak what the situation looks like. The hotter the battle, speak God's word only. The hotter it gets, come to the place where I will speak God's word only. Amen? And Isaiah 55 says, so shall my words be that goes forth out of my mouth. The Lord says that it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish. Everybody say it accomplished. It will accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper the thing I sent it. Then the eighth thing was, it's the year for strong gates. I tell you, this has been a tremendous, I don't know. There's still such a mystery here on God's gates and God's walls that protect us. We have our gates in front of us. Our gates are God's protective wall. And then our walls that surround us. The hoopah of God is the Hebrew word that's used for the covering that God shields us with and covers us with. And then his glory is our guard from behind. But we have a part in this, and then God has a part. The Bible says, the Lord said, I will strengthen your gates and I'll save your children. That's what it says in the book of Psalms. I will strengthen your gates. But that I believe that is in response to us. It's responding to our desire. It's also responding to our praise. The Bible says that our gates are praise and our walls are what? Salvation. Yeshua. So our gates are salvation. That's why that you build the walls of protection around your life, around your family, around your church, around your city. You build it by taking scriptures of promise, laying stone on stone. Stone on stone. Taking scripture promises and laying them. Now somebody says, how many is enough? Because it's not legalism. Then that's where we're obligated to follow the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God knows what it takes to protect you and yours. And that's just why it's of vital importance to hear God. As you hear God and you take these wonderful scriptures of promise that promise salvation and deliverance and healing, you take them and literally they become your walls built one on another round about you. But the Bible says your gates is praise. That's why it is so important to praise God. Now, praise is important here at church. It is probably one of the most important things that we do. It may be the most important thing we do here at church. But praise just doesn't take place at church. Praise takes place everywhere. It's an attitude of your heart of being thankful to God. So it's of vital importance that you trade all your complaints for praise. And to where that you have been prone by. See, I was raised and people that knew how to complain well. Anybody else raised in a family like that? I knew how to complain well. And so it's been like you had to almost turn that thing around. Is to turn something from complaining into praise. But praise makes a gate strong. And what God has given me, the personal promise that I wanted to believe the Lord over this church, our families, is that gate would be made so strong it would not be able to be penetrated by the enemy. That the enemy cannot penetrate the gate. And that is a picture of the old things that they'd have. What do you call those big crushing things? Those big things they would form in warfare and they'd crash them against the gates. Yeah, battering rams. Uh-huh. That they would crash them. And that devil is using everything he can, but that's okay. Our gates cannot be penetrated. Amen. And our walls are unscalable. Hallelujah. That's what I prayed the Lord do. Make the walls where the enemy cannot scale them, where they cannot be climbed over. And make our gates so that they cannot. Amen. So it's great. And it's just real important that the Lord build us these things. that God did. The Bible, the protected, the spiritual talk, the spiritual conversation of protection, especially throughout the Old Testament, is about walls and gates, watchtowers. And so it's just real important that God do that. Psalms 147, 11, 14 says, "No, the Lord's delight is in those who fear him, those who put their hope in his unfailing love." How many's putting their hope in God's unfailing love? "Praise the Lord, praise ye God, for he has strengthened the bars of our gates." Amen. "And he has blessed our children within our walls." And I want to thank God for every child that's here tonight. That God, amen. And so he's making those bars stronger gates. The Bible says in Psalms 11, it says, "He sends peace across your nation and satisfies your hunger." That's what happens inside these walls. That's what happens inside. He sends peace across our nation and satisfies our hunger with the finest of wheat. He sends his orders to the world. How swiftly his word flies. Amen. Amen. "Violence shall no more be heard in your land, nor devastation, nor destruction within your border." Now, somebody that's really thankful that God gives these kind of promises, and these kind of promises is what we build our walls out of. Somebody that's really thankful, I want you to just stand up with me, and I'm going to do a little turnaround dance, and it's going to be a little bit humiliating, but it's okay, because I am just thankful for what God has done. Amen. I'm just thankful for what God has done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's what he said. It said, "You will not need to fight in a battle." I'm ready for a little R&R. How about you? From the battles of the enemy, "Position yourselves and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you." Now, when he began to sing and to praise, that's because gates are praised. When he began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the enemy. Amen. "Thus God expelled him and placed mighty angels at the east of the gate of the garden." Praise the Lord. Amen. After sending that out, let's go on. All right. Psalms 91 says, "For he will command his angels." Do you know that God said that if you will trust me, he said, "I will command angels." See, there's so much. Like I said, you may think you can do it, but God says that's not living a spiritual life. A spiritual life is not you doing it. A spiritual life is believing God and him doing it. And God said, if you will trust me, he said, "I will command my angels concerning you." And there's a lot that concerns me. How many, there's some things that concern you? "And he'll give his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways and make our gates strong." It's to be a year that we live in the secret place. That's what Bill Norton continually told us over and over again. He said, you've got to be a year of living in a secret place. Well, what the Bible says, he who dwells, and this is the scripture Bill used for us over and over again, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." God's given us that promise. Now, the secret place has a secret room. Amen. And I pray that you have found that secret place, because secrets are told inside the secret room, which is inside the secret place. Inside the secret place of the Lord, there is a secret room. And inside that secret room, there are secrets that are spoken from God. They may be secrets of protection. They may be secrets of blessing. They may be secrets that will bring you peace and joy. But God reveals secrets inside the secret room. That's why there's things that God has spoken to your heart that are so much stronger than anything that I could say here tonight. Because God tells you secrets. Amen? And that's what his word says. The secret place is a place of power. It's a place of anointing. Matthew 13:9 said, "And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets." Everybody said, to know. God wants us to know that. God wants us. God has the secret of how to help every family. God has the secret how to help every person. God has the secret of how to get you out of the situation. God has the secret to get us out of debt. God has the secret to get us into health. God has the secret to raising children. God has a secret. And they are precious, powerful secrets that God tells his children. He said, is to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Now, friendship with God is reserved for those who what? Reverence him. Is that why I said reverence him? With them alone, he shares the secrets of his promises. That's what he says. There's secrets there. That's why when sometimes in a person in a testimony, when they'll get up and they'll share a scripture, and they'll share a scripture, then they'll just jump and shout over that one scripture. And everybody else will be saying, "What are they so happy about that scripture?" See, we don't know the secret of that promise. We didn't get the secret of that promise. But in that secret room, God gave that person the secret. Now, the Bible says friendship with God reserved for those who are reverent in Him. Amen? Amen. God would surely have known it, for He knows the secrets of every heart. Isaiah 48 said, now I will tell you new things, secrets you have not yet heard. Amen? And we think that this stuff is getting old. No. God said, I'll tell you secrets that you have never heard. God knows the secret about your child. God knows the secret how to turn their heart. God knows the secret for you to pray. One of the greatest things, and I close with this because we got several more of these. We got about 21 of these. And so we'll be going through them, Lord willing, at another time. But one of the grandest things that we found was to be able to speak God's secrets. During the battles that our personal family went through, and I know that you probably found this through, that in that secret place, when you're bombarding hell with all the word that you know, in that secret place, God will whisper to you a secret that will unlock the door of that particular day or that particular situation or that particular child or that particular circumstance. And I tell you, it is a key. And unless that key is found, it won't be unlocked. That's why God put the secrets in the secret room inside the secret place. Because it takes people that want to go into the secret place to go on into the secret room to hear the secrets of God. God knows how to unlock any situation. God knows how to unlock every woman's heart. God also knows how to unlock every man's head. God also knows how to unlock every job situation. God knows the key that will make everything work for good. God's goodness is expressed in our life. God's goodness. See, God is good. He doesn't just do good. He is good. When God's on the scene, goodness is there. Good things happen. Good things come to pass. Good things turn bad things around. Amen? When God gives secret. So I don't know what your situation, what I found as we walked through this thing with several of our family members, I found that some weeks it took a different key every day. Sometimes a key would last for a week. But the success or the victory or the life was totally dependent on hearing that key and using that key in the lock. And I found one of the greatest spiritual growths in my life when I no longer had confidence in my whole chain of keys. Because I can rattle them, make them sound good. But I do that to a lot to this church. I tell you what, I've got more keys. Over the number of years at this church and the times that we've changed locks at this church, I've got a chain of keys probably this long. I mean, just big around. I keep them in boxes at my house. And every once in a while, I'll say, I'm going to figure out where all these keys go. So I'll pick up my whole group of keys and I'll bring them to this church and I'll start and I'll try my best. I very seldom ever get one of them to work. But then what I find out there is, but I can take the right key and it will unlock it every time for the glory of God. Amen. So I found that my confidence is no longer just in the keychain of keys. It's having the right key, the right word at the right time. And amazingly, sometimes that key will come right out of the middle of the book of Psalms. Sometimes that key will come right out of Genesis chapter 50. And then sometimes that key comes out of you waiting in the presence of God. saying, God, I can't leave here empty. And God says, let me give you a key. And God, a whisper. Sometimes one little word. Sometimes five little words. But it's the key to my life. God has a key for every situation under the sun.